Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, greetings from Industrial Talk. My name is Scott McKenzie, and we had a jam-packed week. It was Mardi Gras here in New Orleans, and so we had to take in a lot of the parties and the parades and enjoy Mardi Gras to its fullest. And we were able to highlight some great sponsors, new sponsors to Industrial Talk. And that's Dave's Gourmet. They provided the hot sauce for the first annual Industrial Talk Hot Sauce Challenge, which was quite exciting, if I might add. And this was to benefit an organization called Stark. And we'll go into more detail about that. But once again, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. Really happy that you're here. Let's get this show on the road. All right. Enough of that. Yeah, we got a lot to cover here. We got a wonderful interview, of course, with Ramesh Galati, which was also from the IMC 2017 conference in Bonita Springs. If you're in the reliability world, that guy, you got to know him because he is a wealth of knowledge. He's been through it all. So I'm really excited about presenting that particular interview, as well as kicking off the Industrial Dojo. I like the name just because it means you're going to work hard and you're going to be exercising, and it's all specifically geared to you, the industrial professional. And it's going to be a soup-to-nut type of approach, but it is to benefit you in a big way. Because we're going to talk a lot about business development, sales, marketing, branding, using and have no regrets. I don't want any regrets in 2018 of anybody who listens to this program, and I want to make sure that we provide the content for you, that industry professional, to be successful. So without that, we need to get on to a tailgate talk right now.
Tailgate talk number one.
Okay. As I was indicating, we were at a parade and we were collecting beads for a company called Stark. That's STARC. They are a wonderful organization. And instead of me trying to fill in the blanks, I'm going to read here real quick. Stark does a lot of ways, from providing therapeutic treatment and daycare and job training to help thousands of individuals since 1972. They've been around for a long time. So what we do is we collect the beads. And Stark, we send it over to Stark, and we get a big old trash can full of beads. And what they do is they repurpose them, and they sell them. And these individuals, these adult daycare individuals, they get paid for doing that, as well as they make money on packaging, and they continue to just fund this particular organization. So nonetheless, Stark, that's STARC, go look them up. They are, I got to tell you, I took a tour of their facility, and they're all angels. They're beautiful people. And here, if you're out there on the video, watching it on YouTube video, there's the brochure. I think I got it all lined up right. Yeah, I did. And it's a fabulous organization, beautiful people. So anyway, with that said, thank you very much. And go on out there. And I just in advance, thank you for doing that.
Number two.
Okay, for number two, I'd like to highlight a new sponsor, Dave's Gourmet. So they provided all this. If you're, like I said, if you're out on the video, they're here. So here's some of the sauces now. They've just got a ton of products that are, well, second to none, because they really concentrate on flavor. And they also bring the heat, too, as well. And they provided the hot sauce for the first annual Industrial Talk Hot Sauce Challenge. And by the way, was won by a gentleman by the name of Jason Turner. And I got to tell you, stud. They were all studs because that was a challenge extraordinaire. So anyway, it was a lot of fun. And we were out there on the parade route in Mardi Gras and did this challenge. And he's going to have a shirt on its way. We're going to be mailing that. And anyway, a lot of fun. If you want to go watch it, go out there on the Facebook page and look up Industrial Talk, and it's out there, and it's a crack up.
Number three.
Another sponsor, if you have beard, If you have a beard like me, I have a beard. I'm playing around. I use Grave Before Shave, and they're kind enough to give us a 15% all listeners on the Industrial Talk. If you have a person, they got a lot of products out there, but if you have a friend or somebody that is looking for a great smelling gift, Grave Before Shave. I use the shampoo as well as, okay, I know I'm bald, but I got to wash my beard too as well. And they're going to give us a 15% discount. Just enter Industrial into their website, and that's gravebeforeshave.com. All right, that wraps it up. Oh. If you're out there on a video, this was a picture that was colored for me from the an individual from Stark, and I'm very proud. And when I'm going to go deliver, I'm going to be doing a video, and then we're going to get more pictures, and I'm going to hang them up in the studio here. So be prepared. So this is from another young lady that did a great job. So thank you again. Thank you for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. What we have going for you now is a gentleman by the name of Ramesh Galati. He works for Jacobs. He is, God, he's been around forever. The knowledge he has, I got to tell you, he's forgotten more than I will ever learn. And so I'm sure he would be happy for you to find him out there on LinkedIn, because he is Ramesh Galati. You'll have all of the information on connecting with him. He is an open book. In fact, he's produced a number of books. So here he is. This is Mr. Ramesh Galati. I'm so proud to have him on the Industrial Talk podcast. All right, it's day four here at the IMC 2017 conference, and I have, I think this is my third interview, fourth opportunity to be able to speak with an industry professional, and I've been trying to get this guy to be on the program for the past, three, 4 days, I guess, that we've been here. I've got my glass of water in hand because it is time for water, and I'm very honored to be here at the IMC 2017 conference, and it's brought to you by the wonderful people at reliabilityweb.com. If you want to be able to know anything about the reliability and the professional reliability, that's the place to go, because they know what they're talking about and they put on a great conference. So you got to be here next year, because I tell you, it's second to none. So who I got right here before me, Mr. Ramesh Galati, and he's with Jacobs Engineering, correct?
That's right.
And have you had a good conference?
Great conference. This is a conference I really love to come and enjoy and do networking. That's a great place to come.
I'll tell you, man, I've been to many conferences, and this one is by far the best. And it's not just it's the seriousness of the individuals who make this conference, the passion for them to consume the information, because they don't just sort of file through a book. They read it book cover to cover. They're amazing. Now, you're no different, because you're an author. You've been around for a little while, and you're an author, and why don't you give us a little background of who Ramesh is and his background and all that good stuff.
Well, as I started my career almost 50 years or something like that ago.
Well, you look like you're 30.
I look like 30,
oh,
yes.
You do.
I was a maintenance engineer in this large foundry. And boy, as a maintenance engineer, I was kind of a new young kid after college.
Right.
And boy, it was kind of challenging learning how to take care of these assets, the equipment, whatever now we call them asset. And really, after working a few months, year or something, I started hating those designers, the capital project managers who gave me these machines. It's so difficult to work on them, or they have no idea is how somebody is going to repair it. They thought there won't be any failures. It's going to run machine or going to run forever.
So what, they stick it behind something or up about 30 feet hanging off of something that...
difficult to reach.
Right.
Or taking the cover out from the guard,
right,
where you have to change the V-belt. It should be 30 minutes job. Taking the way this cover is so close to wall, you cannot take it out. I mean, so made. I mean, it's unbelievable how, I mean, those were, again, it was the designer or the installer, whosoever did those kind of things. It was kind of a, not funny anymore. I mean, I was so, I don't want to use a bad language.
Hey, that's okay.
You know,
but
it
bad
was
news.
Bad news. It was kind of a very, very, so I worked there 4, 5, 6 years. And then I came to the United States, worked in Bethlehem Steel in Buffalo.
No, no kidding. Wow.
That was another experience. Here the young guy comes in, read all the Americans and British books on top management or management, how it should be done. And I was told by chief master mechanic, we call them chief engineer,
right.
Say, hey, here's a Bible. So what's this Bible? That was a steelworkers union contract. He said, forget about those books, what you read. Throw them out from your head. We go by these contracts.
Huh.
So all those management principles you have learned, throw them out of the window.
Huh.
And equipment we are working were 1928, 1932, 1939 made. I was unbelievable how this kid has worked in machines which were built new, you know, our plant, which was, you know, 1950, 60
right,
model.
Right.
And I'm reading about Japan and other places. And here I'm trying to maintain or operate our guys in these old machines.
Huh.
Unbelievable. Again, by the way, that plant is gone and burned and Bethlehem Steel is gone, their name.
It's true. I mean, it's sure, absolutely true.
Yeah. And, you know, those days, our financial guys were run by those MBAs. They wanted a short-term return. They didn't care for long-term return.
Right.
And we maintenance guys need to look into long-term. But to be short, from there, Bethlehem Steel, I worked at another steel company and then end up in Cleveland, Ohio with the Two Temper Corporation. And that was a hardware and garden tools company. And worked there was 10 years. I worked there. There was a lot of learning there, a lot of automation. In the meantime, I got my master in engineering and started working in the designs. My goal was when I was in foundry in maintenance, how to make things better, how to make system better, more easy to operate and maintain.
Yeah.
That was I was thinking,
absolutely
looking, and that's what I kind of started doing it. And then I had an opportunity, couldn't take the cold of north. I have to move south.
That is the weather up there, yeah, during the wintertime. Yeah.
Yeah. So family wanted to move. So we moved south and in Tennessee, worked for Carrier Conditioning for a year or so.
Really? Wow.
Then worked at Arner Air Force Base, one of the largest aerospace testing facility in the world.
Wow.
Worked there for 34 years. That was really, I got involved in improving maintenance, operation, reliability of
right.
our asset, and really did the asset management.
So I've got to ask the question. So your experience is definitely you've learned by fire, because there were a couple of companies that didn't really see the value of really doing maintenance or even design properly,
yeah.
right? And
yeah.
so who cares? It doesn't yeah. really matter. But then you get into a business where that is a tenant of what they do, and that was the where you worked, aerospace or
Arnold Air Force Base.
And what? Why were they into that? Why didn't they get it? And then
again,
this particular
that was also our company that time was Swordrop and later became Jacobs.
Ah.
We had a contract, and we were trying to improve. My boss, who hired me, learned about reliability program. And I was in the area, so we got interested. They got me interested in me, and I moved there, which was kind of a really great thing. And they gave me a free hand to make improvements.
Right, right.
They kind of empowered me to speak.
Right.
And then next 34 years, I did the same thing. I tried to bring the best practices. I was involved with the industry, these conferences, in fact.
Right.
I was involved with IMC back those days. I was
right.
involved with SMRP, Society of Reliability Professionals.
Right.
So I was involved doing a lot of networking with the people and try to bring the best practices what we have. So I was doing that. So we tried to improve our maintenance program. and back, I'm talking back in 80s.
Yeah, you were a trailblazer that back then. That's quite cutting-edge thinking at the time.
And we built reliability program in our maintenance program to speak, build reliability. You know, and main thing was educating people, my peers. So I started working with my peers, how to help them to do better maintenance.
Right.
Okay. And how to build, when we are procuring something, how to procure better, more reliable cars.
That's a huge gap that I've had a number of conversations with, is like, those are two competing drivers, financial drivers. One is, I got to get the cheapest solution out there, but the other one is maybe that's not the way to look at it. Absolutely.
So we started working on that. So I think management there and our client Air Force recognized that, hey, we are on the right path.
Right.
And we could show some results, good results. So we journey continued. In fact, I started my own industry analysis, industry engineering group, and we grew from there.
Right.
And I think it took me almost 20 years, around 10 to 15 years before they realized what we're trying to do, and they really got the support. But again, thing was changing the culture, educating people. So we got into really journeying how to make sure all our people, whether they are craft level or they are engineers level or they are management level or even top management, how to start educating them, hey, what are the good principles? And we were really fortunate. I got really good help from my management, and they were very supportive of these ideas. And finally, we got most of our key people certified in management maintenance reliability principles.
Right.
CMRP, we got them. Even we got our, because most of time our physical barriers in our improving or implementing best practices are our management people, middle management, top management. Middle management are the most, I mean, in a scale wise, top management you can sell it, are the lowest people you can sell them. The middle management is a tough.
Well, see, I didn't hear that. That's pretty interesting. That's an interesting
and
observation.
We we were able to convince, hey, those are kind of manager we have to get them. In fact, it's not, if you think about, if you want to build a reliability culture or culture excellence, you have to get everyone on board.
Yeah.
It's not a main, you do, mostly if equipment is going downhill, it's breaking a lot. It's not a maintenance, mostly blame goes on to maintenance guys.
Right, oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, they are the first line of, oh, maintenance didn't do right. Really, it's blame, it's not a main, defect get introduced much early stages.
Yeah.
Early stages when concept, design, procurement.
Yes.
You know, those are the places where defect gets introduced in the system. Defects, I mean, people don't design right. Yes. Or some of those kind of things. So those got, you know, it gets into the system, and that's what we have to take care of it. And then educating people, implementing best practices, why they don't stick, because people don't have a knowledge or understanding. If we explain to them why we are doing this and try to buy them in, then things get smoother.
Yeah, but see, you had an opportunity there where one of the challenges that we have in the private sector is there's a tremendous amount of churn, just resource churn. Mm. And so that manager that says, hey, I want to do this, and implements or begins to implement, that manager's life expectancy in that particular role or that place is short-lived. You, on the other hand, had that continuity. You stayed in that one area and really shepherded, and you were passionate about it, and you were that change maker that was there.
Well, that's what some people, Terry O'Hanlon calls me, reliability Sherpa. I was kind of playing a role of change management or Sherpa.
A Sherpa?
Sherpa. hey, I knew where the peak is and how to get my people over there.
Yeah. That's a good one.
So that's kind of a role I played. And we got all our people, not just a maintenance operation guy. We got our design people, capital project people, we got financial people, we got HR people, procurement people, everyone in the food chain over there, we got them involved. In fact, we gave them a training educated them, what are the best practices. We try to bring our people to these conferences, to IMC and all these 20, 30, 40 people. I will bring the best speaker from the industry to our place to tell us what's things going on, how things are going on. So that went on for a long time. As a result, we were able to show the good return on our investment. And in fact, on that journey, we got several best practice awards for those things. And that was kind of it was a great journey. I got involved, and even we build a culture and hierarchy, even if I leave. In fact, now I'm out from that place. But that knowledge stays there, and there's always people who are there trying to pick up that after me, or when they moved me to another location or other department, there were two other people in behind me who can take over with the same kind of a passion and a background.
Because that's what it takes. It really does. So, yeah. Ramesh, we're going to have to take a break right now. That we're going to be talking a little bit about your books and what the future holds. And I got to tell you guys, this guy has tremendous experience, and he's learned the hard way on how to do maintenance. Hang tight. We will be right back. We are broadcasting live from IMC 2017, brought to you by the wonderful people at ReliabilityWeb.com. Hang tight. All right. Welcome back to the Industrial Talk podcast. My name is Scott McKenzie, and we are broadcasting live from IMC 2017, brought to you by ReliabilityWeb.com. Fantastic conference, wonderful people, and now, once again, they're breaking out. So you're going to hear a little noise in the background. We were talking a little bit about Ramesh's incredible and in-depth history and skills and abilities within the maintenance space. And so we're going to just sort of pivot a little bit, and we're going to talk a little bit about his book. Now, you've got books. How many books have you published?
About 4 or 5.
Yeah, you know, it just rolls off your tongue here, but I'm happy to read one in 1 year. So it's let's talk about your latest book. I think it's the 10 Rights of Asset Management. Is that correct? Is that your latest book?
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about the thought behind that, and why you decided to do that.
Okay, my earlier book, which was really, I got published in 2009, was Maintenance Liability Best Practices. And then that was second edition in 2013 or 14. And that was on maintenance reliability best practices, just focusing on maintenance and reliability kind of thing. Okay. But over the years, what we have learned, because our journey, if you want to make improvement, if we have to create a culture of reliability or excellence, culture of excellence, you have to start your work way early, means when asset being built, concept out or design or being built. So those are kind of things we have to do better. In fact, I've been preaching, teaching those kind of concepts for many years within my company. And they asked me, I was attached to the capital project people and the designers, how to make our design better, more cost-effective and reliable.
Hey, but let me just sort of interject something here. How do you deal with a brownfield location? Because many, there are all these assets, and these are principles that have to be applied to a brownfield location as well.
You have to do brownfield as well as greenfield.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing. That's what I was working on, a brownfield kind of already there, but same kind of principle can be applied to greenfield also.
Absolutely.
So what we were doing is, when our company that time was doing almost $100 million of capital projects every year.
Right.
$100, $150 million project. And then we had a capital project group and designers. So I've been working with them to how we can improve it, how we can put right specifications,
right,
how we can design better with the reliability kind of features in
sure,
it.
Sure, absolutely.
Maintainability, yeah, those kind of things. Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I was doing this education to my people. And again, as I told earlier, that I've been involved quite a bit with the societies, SMRP and IMC, with Terry O'Hanlon and other people. And Terry kind of pushed me, say, hey, you've been coming to all these conferences, and you're sharing that knowledge, why don't you put on the paper? So
right,
that was my first book when it came out in 2009. Right. But that was more focus was on maintenance and reliability, as I said. So then was, hey, what else we could do? why don't we write a book on asset management? Because I was also involved with the ISO 55000 asset management standard. Okay, so I started working on, and that's what my new book is, The 10 Rights. It means that first we have to start how we specify right. We engineers don't do a good job writing good specification. And what happens if we don't write good specification? We have a scope creep. Then as a month later, 2 months later, we think something else, we want to add that, then we want to add some more, we want to add more, and this is, then capital cost goes too much or right. too high. So those are issues, and we don't look from everybody's perspective. So that was writing the right specification. Then we get into design. Now, if we don't do a good job in specification, designer could be inside designer or could be outside, somebody else may be designing it. If they don't have right information, they may not know designed properly. And also, another point was, our designer don't think about reliability and maintainability. Because they are more, we have been, our culture has been, cut the cost, minimum cost for design. So they want to cut the cost, so they don't design from reliability and maintainability point of view. They don't talk to O&M users, guys.
No, you don't. They don't. No.
They don't. So that's another one. So in this chapter, we talk about how to, what kind of tools designers can use to make their design better, more cost-effective, as well as more reliable and more maintainable.
Let me ask you a real quick question for a distinction, a clarification, because one of the things that I've realized here at this particular conference, there's a huge reliability lexicon. There, you know, we speak this particular language, and people, we assume people understand and know and all that stuff, and quite frankly, people at this particular conference, they do know and all that. One of the things, and I know that you wrote the dictionary for reliability leaders, what do you think that distinction is, and help me, between an asset management and maintenance reliability. So you got, tell me what the distinction is.
Okay, good question. Maintenance reliability, look, operation and maintenance area only. When we have an asset running, how to operate, how to maintain that, okay?
Of an existing asset, asset. Gotcha.
Okay, yeah. Where we've been talking asset management, we are talking the whole life cycle of asset. That's a new learning last few years. We have learned that it's not, we should be really thinking about asset when we are specifying, when the need is built. So when somebody think about that, I have to provide this new service, or I have to make this new product. I need a sub asset, which with this kind of concept, from that time, we have to start thinking, hey, how are we going to operate and maintain also? So the designer has the whole, you have to go the whole cycle. That's what about new book is, you specify it right, you design it right, you procure it right. You procure it for the best value, not the cheapest cost.
Yeah. Okay. That's real important, because now I got it where I'm looking, okay, I got the maintenance and sort of the operation of that asset, but this is the management of from beginning to end.
Lust to dust.
That's right.
Cradle to grave.
That's right.
That's what. Right. So we have to think, okay? So then you go to design, procure, and then build. Somebody's going to build. We have to make sure the person who is building your asset, whether this is inside or outside somebody, they have a right people to build that, skilled people. Because if you don't do right welding, it's going to crack.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so if they don't use proper component, reliable component, it's going to give you problem. So then you build it right, then installation becomes very important too.
Oh, it's okay? Huge, yeah.
And you have to make sure the space requirements and all these, shipping from a supplier is important, because if you don't ship properly when it's coming from long distance, overseas or something, that can create a defect in your machine when you're going to install it, you know.
Right.
So all those kind of issues have to be taken care. Then you are ready, once installed and commissioned, then you are ready to operate and maintain. Now, there's another step which people forget, and good companies are doing, hey, you have you hired right kind of a people to operate and maintain? Now, that should be done. Good companies with have a good asset management program may hire a operator maintainer for that asset 6 to 9 or 1 month, 1 year in advance. So this person gets involved in how that asset is being built, installed.
Right.
And during that process, they make a right kind of a operation maintenance manuals.
Yeah.
And I have seen some good companies who have done this. It's an investment. But that investment pays off later on in during O&M phase when cost goes down. You know, then less failure. Also, educating this chapter, in operation chapter, we talk about how to train, educate your operators. The 5S principles, TPM principles.
Right.
What are the right kind of metrics you should have, you know, OEE, those kind of things, the operation mode. Then comes the maintenance. Hey, what are the maintenance good practices are?
Right.
Okay. Then comes, okay, we got asset. Continuous improvement is the next chapter, which is really important. Today, we live in very, very competitive world. We have to compete with all over the world.
Right.
So we have to make improvement all the time. We may be having some failures, which we couldn't take it out during design or build phase. Now we have to see what failures are happening and how we can take it, improve them. So we have to do improvement on our asset. That's a continuous. Hey, we cannot afford to, you know, to stand still. We have to make continuous improvement all the time. So that's using, understanding right tools to use when and where, that's improvement. And then nowadays, the last one is a disposal. Not the last one, ninth, right, is a disposal.
Right.
We cannot throw things out just like that. In the past, what we used to do it, I mean, all our equipment, which we are now using, is sitting somewhere in the back, but we cannot throw them. Oil may be leaking. We cannot afford that. Even our telephone, we cannot just throw it out. And nowadays, because it has a lot of good data in it, and that data can go in the wrong place, wrong hand. So we have to make sure what things we don't need, is over. Let's throw them out, but intelligently, means making sure we have taken clean things out before we put in our dumpsters.
The challenge I see, that's a heck of a book. The challenge I see is this is a great approach. This would be great on any type of greenfield project, you know, like
green or brownfield.
But the brownfield, how do you? And that's where the challenge I see. So you've got an entrenched organization,
yes,
and you're just saying, okay, now we're going to come in and we're going to apply these principles to that motor right there. And that motor is getting ready to fail. We can tell because of all of the diagnostics on it. So what we want to do is we want to apply these principles for that particular asset, because the other assets are functioning and they're at a different life. Are you saying to apply these principles in a brownfield location when that asset is going to say, okay, I'm ready to give up the ghost and I'm getting ready to be replaced? But that's the discipline that you're advocating here.
That's right. Again, if it's a brownfield, that equipment has a life and we are having a lot of failures.
Yes.
And that's what improvement comes in. Hey, maybe it's time to replace it. Hey, when to replace equipment? And that's what, when your failure rates are getting higher, you start thinking about it. Hey, I'm going to get replaced with the new equipment. And then you start thinking, when I'm going to get a new equipment, what kind of things I have to make sure I get it? Then you have to start thinking, hey, getting your people who have worked on those equipment, get them involved so they can help in writing the right specification, good specification, and involved in the design reviews.
Yeah.
So we get reliability and maintainability in it. You know?
Well, there's a lot of discipline here. I mean, you've got a lot of cultural challenges. So those are the challenges.
But
they're also opportunities, because you're going to say, okay, we do that. It's not as if the documentation doesn't exist. You have it in the book, and it's right there.
Yeah.
And it's not, and smart people, because there's a lot of smart people around here, they can implement that and be able to really truly transform a business to the next level.
You're right.
One asset at a time.
We have to take one step at a time. It's a challenge. It's no problem. I mean, you think I did this just like that? Everybody? No.
Well, you're only 35 right now.
Yeah. There's a lot of challenge on the way.
Yeah.
And we have to, as you said, each challenge is an opportunity and to make improvement. And that's what we did. And a lot of cultural changes. And finally, it takes time.
It does.
It's not a program. It's a journey.
It is.
I tell you, I get a comment after 10, 15, 20 years, people say, wish we had listened to you 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's something. It's just like, you guys got to listen, and you're not going to, and we'll have this conversation 10 years from now, and you'll say, darn it. I wish I learned. Hey, hang tight. We're going to break briefly here. We're at the IMC 2017 conference. Ramesh Galati, a wealth of knowledge, an incredible professional within the industrial and in reliability space. I am so honored to be able to have him here talk about his background, his books, all of them. And we'll be right back. And thank you for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right, you got to mark your calendar for April 23rd through the 27th. And this is a reliability conference that is in Las Vegas, Nevada, brought to you by those wonderful people at reliabilityweb.com. It will have all of the great vendors that are there that are really focused and passionate on reliability, as well as the great content and education. It never ends. Those folks at reliabilityweb.com do a great job. Now, I will be there, just like I was at the IMC 2017 conference in Bonita Springs. So if you missed that, and that was in December, you need to make this one. And it is April. Once again, April 23rd through the 27th. This is in Las Vegas, Nevada. Go out to reliabilityweb.com. Get all the information you can about it. I will be there. I hope to see you, and you have a wonderful day. All right, we're back. IndustrialTalk.com. We are broadcasting live from IMC 2017. Brought to you the wonderful people by ReliabilityWeb.com. Walking around, of course, everybody's walking around right now. We are live, and that's what you get all the buzz, but don't worry about it. We've got the content here. We've got the professionals that are speaking about reliability. And Ramesh, we were talking offline. You wanted to briefly mention culture, and that's a big deal. Talk to me a little bit about that.
I think in all these programs or journey, building a right culture is very important. Without having a right culture, people your improvement won't stick.
Oh, it won't.
I mean, once you leave or something, it won't stick. Will people go back to their old habits?
In a jet second.
And I've seen those. Yep. And you have to be constant pushing those things, you know. And that's why, in fact, my first off few years on the job, one of my review was that I'm too persistent. I'm sorry. That's what my boss told me. I'm too persistent. I don't leave things out. Once I got in mind, I want to do it.
Well, you're the reliability Sherpa, so yeah, absolutely you are.
So I think one other thing, if I can give you guys advice, to work on educating people at every level, at your peer level, at your below you or up you. So you have to go all the way. You have to make your peers look good. Peers work, you work with them so your boss looks good, okay?
Right.
And work with them, then go up higher, educate them, train them, bring them to the conferences, let them do some paper. Writing paper is great learning too.
Yeah.
And that's what I was forced into 30, 40 years ago, and I'm still doing. I'm learning.
Right.
At my age, I think I don't know much.
Right, right.
So learning and then working with your other people, your colleagues, your bosses, people who work for you, educate them, train them, give them books, give them opportunity to learn.
Right.
And once they learn, people understand. See, any job you do, everyone in your facility should understand what contribution they are making. They are maybe doing sweeping the floor or doing lubrication. Our jobs are operating machines. they should understand how they're contributing to the vision, the bottom line of the company.
Yeah.
They're doing better lubrication or better planning and scheduling. Whatever tasks they are doing it, they are adding value, means it, whatever things they are doing will make sure they have less failures. Right. Asset will work when they need it.
Right.
And by doing that, there'll be more production out. It means company will stay in black. They will make money, their job offer. So those are kind of things, if people understand why they are doing something, whatever their task is, they will understand, they will do it with their heart in it.
Right.
You know, and once that happen, culture will stay. Culture, you build the right culture.
You have to, because it dissipates so quickly once the change agent decides that they're going some other place, and boom, and that's a monumental task here.
That's right.
It really is. It's not easy, and it's not.
No, again,
not sitting there going, because you've seen it.
I've done it, and it's not just that 3 months or 6 months or 2 years. Its journey takes you 5, 10, 15 years to build that kind of culture.
Oh.
Okay.
Hey, so, you know, Ramesh, that we could go on for hours and hours and hours and hours, because you just are a wealth of knowledge. And like I said, I'm just honored to be able to have you on this particular podcast. How can people get a hold? I mean, you got books galore. Where are they at?
Most of them books are available at reliabilityweb.com, or you can go to Amazon, and my dictionary and 10 rights of asset management, maintenance and reliability best practices, and the workbook, all are available at Amazon.
Right.
And those are the industrial press publication, but these three books are from reliabilityweb.com publication.
So really, you can go out there and then type in R-A-M-E-S-H, Ramesh, G-U-L-A-T-I, Galati, and then find all the books that are associated with you and your abilities. What about LinkedIn? Are you out there on LinkedIn?
Yes, sir, I do.
And but, it is the same thing.
I'm sorry,
Ramesh,
I'm not high tech. Yes, I'm not that high tech guy.
I
have to work on that part.
I think you're definitely rubbing elbows with a lot of people who are high tech. I think you can just bridge that gap.
Yes, I get busy other things, and once in a while, every 2 or 3 times a week, I check my LinkedIn and I try to answer who's ever calling me.
Don't be discouraged. He is the reliability Sherpa, so he was very persistent. So you be persistent. If you want to know stuff about reliability, the industry as a whole, and where things are going, I highly recommend that you get the books and reach out to this gentleman and anybody else. I mean, at reliability. Go ahead.
You can contact me if you want. ramesh.gulati@jacobs.com.
Got it.
Or ramesh.gulati@hotmail.com.
You got a Hotmail account?
Yes.
Wow. So, look at this, Mr. Tech. Anyway, what a wonderful delight of this interview. Thank you very much. And I know that you're busy. You've been running around. I've been watching you. I've been eyeballing you. And you've been amazing. So
thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate you giving me time to do this, and I'm really honored to do this.
I shoot it back at you. I'm honored, and I appreciate you being here. Thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk podcast, and thank you to Ramesh Galati for taking time out of his busy conference schedule to meet with us and talk about all of the wonderful things about reliability. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Hey, once again, this is Scott McKenzie with Industrial Talk. If you like what you're listening to, please feel free to sign up for the free podcast as well as the blogs. I'll try to keep it all relevant to your business and hopefully be able to provide some insight into what we do at Industrial Talk and what you do as a professional. Hope to see you soon. Thank you. All right, I'd like to once again thank Mr. Ramesh Galati for taking time out of his busy schedule. I hope to get him on again, because I got to tell you, we just barely scratched the surface of his knowledge. I'd like to also really thank our strategic partners, because it's without them, we won't be able to be on this podcast, and that would be Leaf Services LLC, and as well as Kossmeyer Marine, Gather Great on the Water, and as well as Pika Group, because if you want soup to nuts type of solutions, EPC work, Pika Group will set you up right. And then also, we want to highlight BIC Media Solutions, because they've been an incredible partner, strategic partner in all things media. And then finally, Reliability Web. Anything that you want that is specific to reliability, Reliability Web is the place to go. So reliabilityweb.com. Once again, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. I am honored. And just recognize that I am your industrial cheerleader, and I will continue to be your cheerleader. So no regrets in 2018. Let's make it a great year. And thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. I will be back next week.